Testing, testing.
Hold on. Let me give you a countdown. Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and today I'm joined by first-time guest, Ben Levinsky. How you doing, Ben? It's nice to meet you. Ben just joined us over at Pro Sports Fandom. Chris is out tonight. Maybe recording a college football preview show. We don't know quite yet, but that's kind of where he's at right now. But he will be back Wednesday for our divisional preview show. Ben, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be here, Eric.
Well, then we're excited to have you. So, Ben, just a few introductory questions that we ask all our new guests. So, first of all, where are you from, and who's your favorite team?
I'm actually from the suburbs of Chicago, and my favorite team is the New York Jets.
All right. That's a strange combination, but I like it. How did you get to being a Jets fan?
Oh, my dad's a Jets fan, so I've just always grown up rooting on the Jets.
Ooh, that's rough. You're born into a rough life, kid.
I mean, it's better than the Bears.
And who's your favorite player on the Jets currently?
You know, I'm going to have to go with the rookie Jamal Adams.
All right. That's a good answer. He played extremely well this year. You guys have got two really good young safeties.
Yeah, we do.
Right now. A favorite Jet, not all time, but all time of your watching the Jets, I guess I should say.
Oof. You know, I might have to go with, I think I'm going to have to go with Revis Island, you know.
All right.
Very all-time great Jet.
Yeah, he had a bad game this weekend, which we'll get to in a little bit. But other than that, that's great to hear. You ready to get into these games?
Let's do it.
All right, so the first game we're going to start out with is the game that really just ended, the Panthers and the Saints. This game really did come down to the final seconds. Probably the most entertaining game of the weekend. New Orleans, the running game was completely shut down by Carolina, but Drew Brees just came in and reminded the world that he is a top five quarterback, and we often forget that. What were some of your bigger takeaways from this game?
Well, as you stated, I saw that the Panthers held Alvin Kamara to only 23 yards of rushing, and that's been kind of a typically, you know, the Saints rely on the running game, but today, Drew Brees, he was able to carry the team, something he hasn't really had to do all season. And I also saw that Michael Thomas had a big game with over 130 receiving yards as well.
Yeah, Michael Thomas and Ted Ginn Jr. both had excellent days catching the ball for Drew Brees. Ginn had that great 80-yard touchdown. He looked speedy and all day. Coleman had a little bit of a fumble issue late in the game, but other than that, the Saints pretty comfortably held on to this game from start to finish. There was a little bit of Panthers pushback at the end, including, I don't know if you saw the end of this game, but Sean Payton, 4th and 2 from the Saints' 50-yard line, ended up calling a play to go for it while they were up, while the Panthers had no timeouts remaining. Luckily, Drew Brees got it intercepted, thankfully, because if the Thomas Davis, I believe, had batted it down, the Panthers would have retained the ball at the 50-yard line, but it ended up being like a 10-15-yard punt. I thought that call was very strange. Did you see that? And what were your kind of thoughts about the way Sean Payton closed out that game?
Well, look, Sean Payton, he's never been afraid to take risks. If you could remember, I don't remember which Super Bowl it was, but I believe they were playing the Colts. Yeah, it was against the Colts, and he started the half with the onside kick. He's not afraid. He's gonna trust his playmakers to go out and make plays. Didn't work this time, but he's not going to change his philosophy. So, you know, I don't mind the call. Drew Brees was playing great all day. I think he had a lot of faith in him.
Yeah, I kind of do mind the call just because I feel like if you make that call against a smarter, more playoff-ready team like the Vikings or the Patriots later in this postseason, depending on how far you get, I feel like the Saints, I feel like it was a good learning experience for Peyton almost, because I feel like you're better off punting the ball there. I don't agree with the call, and I think that it really should have ended up biting them, but the defense ended up winning that game on a fourth down sack by Cam Jordan. The pass rush was held pretty quiet all day by the Panthers, but in the fourth quarter, you could tell the Panthers' O-line was getting tired. Cam Jordan had several sacks, and it was overall a really well-played game by the Saints, even though the scoreline doesn't quite show it. From about the first quarter all the way to halfway through the fourth, this game was very close.
Right, yeah. I mean, it really, at the end of the day, it just comes down to the Panthers not being able to execute in the red zone, and that really just, you can't do that and expect to win wildcard games.
Yeah, not a good look for them settling for field goals most of the day. If you had to choose one spot on this Panthers roster that you could update and upgrade this offseason, what would it be?
You know, I really think they need to increase their secondary, get some better playmakers in the secondary, because Drew Brees just really had a field day out there today.
Yeah, I disagree. I think the secondary is fine as far as that goes. You could obviously add one or two guys, and it wouldn't hurt you. But
right.
I think they need a true number one wide receiver.
I would agree with that as well. Yeah, Devin Funchess, that's not a number one wide receiver.
Yeah, it was clear today that the Panthers, really, most of their passing yards came through screen passes to Christian McCaffrey, and most of their yardage came off Cam Newton running the ball. I just think that through most of this season, they've lacked the number one wide receiver, even when they had Kelvin Benjamin on the squad. So I think that that's really the number one place they need to focus. Moving on to our next game between the Atlanta Falcons, my normal co-host Christian Castain's favorite team, and the Los Angeles Rams. Not to brag, but I saw this game coming, and I saw the Rams most likely not having the playoff experience that they needed to get by a playoff-tested team like the Falcons. I thought the Falcons' defense was going to play great all week, and that held through. They didn't use Julio Jones as much as you would like him to, or Devontae Freeman, but they found a way to get the win and really stymied a Rams offense that was explosive all year. Some of your thoughts on this game?
Well, you know, I thought it wasn't a terrible day for the Rams. I just don't think that they, like you said, the playoff experience or the lack thereof really came back to bite them. I just didn't see that they had that. I don't think that they really thought that they belonged in that game, and I just think that the big stage was too much for them, especially for Jared Goff. When I'm looking at his numbers, you know, no interceptions, but I'm seeing 24 out of 45 attempts. That's just not a good enough completion rate to get it done against a playoff-tested team like the Falcons.
Yeah, on the Falcons' side of things, their defense really did have just a fantastic day. Deontay Jones had 10 total tackles, Keanu Neal 8. Desmond Trufant had 4 passes defense, and Robert Alford had 3. Robert Alford had 3 passes defense, and Desmond Trufant had 2 passes defense. Really, the story of this game for Falcons defense was the play of their defensive backs and linebackers, who really controlled this game from start to finish. I believe that this, and I know we're trying to save predictions, but I believe this Falcons team, they get a good matchup next week against the Eagles. I believe they can make it to the NFC Conference Championship game. My question for you is this. If there was one place in this game that you would say the Falcons need major improvement, where would it be?
You know, the one thing I will say before I address that directly is I really liked seeing Julio Jones involved in the red zone. You know, I think that was really lacking this year for the Falcons. The one place that I think they could use a little improvement is maybe the pass rush. You know, it looked like a good game. It looked like they were putting decent pressure on Jared Goff, but if they really had a speed edge rusher to go rush Nick Foles next week, I think they'd be in great shape. And I still do think they're in good shape, and they're in a good position to get that win.
Yeah, only 3 total sacks for them. Tack McKinley really stood out in this game, getting a sack, their rookie. He's played well all year, but he stepped up really when they needed him to in this playoff game. As you were talking about, Julio Jones, they didn't target him much in the red zone, and he had below 100 yards. But they were still able to win this game, and a lot of that was due to how committed they were to the run game. The numbers don't stick out, but Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman both had excellent days. And really, this game came down to possession time, and the Falcons just looked more comfortable keeping the ball and keeping the clock running than the Rams did at the end of this game. And I kind of wonder, I look at this Rams team, and I think the one thing they lacked this year was experience. But going into next year, if you could add one position to this team on offense or defense, what would it be? Because I think they're pretty loaded on weapons, and if they can retain all the guys they have, I think next year they should be considered real contenders to make it to the Super Bowl. I think this was a blessing in disguise for the Rams. This was a harrowing playoff loss, yes, but at the same time, it was a loss that was made less painful by being in the wild card round, I think. Even though that's not a good way of putting it, but I think they gained more experience through this loss.
I mean, yeah, I would definitely agree with that. The one position I feel like the Rams are sort of lacking is another, I guess you could say, just run stopper or pass rusher to go alongside of Aaron Donald, because it seems like the Falcons, you know, they weren't 100% successful, but they were able to just pretty much kind of control the line of scrimmage, and that ended up being the win for them.
Yeah, a big part of that was the Rams lost Michael Brockers early in this game, and for my money, he was completely snubbed from the Pro Bowl. He has had an excellent year, especially getting tackles for losses and stopping the run. I think they can fix that with getting him back and healthy next year, but I would agree. I think defensive depth is something they kind of lack as a team, and that they can definitely build on in this offseason. Any other thoughts on this game?
Yeah, the Falcons, we don't really know how far they're going to go. We know that they have a good team, and they really should. I mean, let's be honest, they should have won a Super Bowl last year. I think the Rams, if you're a Rams fan, you have a lot to look forward to. You've got Jared Goff, who really showed not just potential, but he just showed that he is worthy of his high draft pedigree. You know, Todd Gurley had an MVP caliber year, and they've got Robert Woods, Sammy Watkins, Cooper Kupp. They've got weapons. It's going to be a good future for the Rams.
Yeah, it was really, I'd agree with everything you said. Moving on to Buffalo and Jacksonville, who played earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
I'll first say this. I know a lot of people had gripes with this game, but this weekend had a little bit of everything, and I really liked this game. It was a great defensive game that held two of the league's best defenses in it. I think that Buffalo played just about as well as anyone could have asked them to. But the Jacksonville defense is just overpowering, and I don't trust Jacksonville. I haven't all offseason. I don't trust Blake Bortles, and for good reason. Today, some of the passes he threw, I've never seen a quarterback mess up a screen pass, but that's what I saw from Blake Bortles today. My biggest concern is that their offense was basically predicated through his legs, a career-high 88 yards on the ground for Bortles. Buffalo really lost this game late in the first half when they got the Jaguars to jump offside on a field goal. They got a first and goal from the one and decided to throw it to Kelvin Benjamin, who got a PI call. That forced him back to a field goal, and those were really the only points they scored on the entire year. LeSean McCoy played extremely well, but it just wasn't quite enough. What did you think about this game?
You know, I think the Bills, everything went in their favor. They are just clearly an inferior team to the Jaguars, but they got them. They made it a kind of messy game, if you will, and you know, they had every opportunity to win. Tyrod Taylor just couldn't get it done, got knocked out late, and I think everyone knew once Nathan Peterman went in, it was over. The one concern I would have for the Jaguars, however, is it seems like there's something wrong with Leonard Fournette. He just could not get anything going at all today whatsoever.
Yeah, that was a little bit strange. He had some good runs throughout the day, but really through the second half of the season, he's disappeared as a runner. And I think that Tyrod Taylor, yes, he didn't have a great day, but his receivers let him down big time. There were several wide-open drops. You had the receiver stepping out of bounds late in the game to seal it, really, for the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's not all on Taylor, but at the same time, you can see Tony Romo pointed these flaws out where Taylor misses wide-open guys, and you could really see on a national scale for the first time why Buffalo doesn't really like Taylor, and I'd be shocked if they didn't bring in another quarterback this offseason.
Right, yeah, especially with them starting Peterman midseason when they're still in great shape for a playoff spot. That, you know, that just sends a clear signal that they are ready to move away from Taylor.
Yeah, and Peterman, it was only fitting, but the Buffalo season ended on a Nathan Peterman interception. It was a very good play by Jalen Ramsey,
right,
who had one of the best games I think I've ever seen a cornerback play. I think that if there was a way or a team that could beat the Steelers in the AFC that's not the Patriots, it's the Jaguars, just because of their corners. I'm not sure if that's possible, and I'll have to keep thinking on it. I still can't decide who's going to win that game, but I think the worst matchup the Steelers could have gotten was the Jaguars.
I would agree. In
this divisional round.
It'll be interesting to see just how healthy Antonio Brown is going against Jalen Ramsey. That's going to be a great matchup.
Yeah, he's reportedly 100%, so it'll be interesting to see how that ends up. If you could do one thing, not at the quarterback position, for this Bills team to improve it, what would it be?
You know, for the Bills, I kind of feel like they need some more depth on defense, similar to the Rams. I just feel like, you know, the Jags, they were kind of beating themselves up, and give credit to the Bills. They were stacking the box. They were daring Blake Bortles to throw, you know. But I just, in certain games, I just did not see the Bills being able to shut down teams' offenses, especially with a capable quarterback.
Yeah, credit to, I'll defend the Bills' defense. Yes, you're right. They don't really have any superstars on it, and this is more a product of coaching. Sean McVay is going to win Coach of the Year, but credit to Sean McDermott. He took really a roster full of no all-stars and turned it into one of the better defenses in the league, top 15 in all the categories. Micah Hyde, a Pro Bowler. Trumaine White, I want to say. This is a bad podcasting by me. The name escapes my head, but their rookie cornerback played a really great year this year.
Tre'Davious White.
Tre'Davious White, thank you very much.
Yeah, he's been exceptional.
Yeah, he's been exceptional all year long. And LeSean McCoy, for as badly as people said he was injured, he played an excellent game. I think I'd probably add some receiving talent to this team. I know they have Kelvin Benjamin, but he's not a special wide receiver at this point in his career. I think they need to add a speed guy to really take the top off and, of course, look to bring in another quarterback, although I do think somewhere in the league, Tyrod Taylor will be starting next year.
I'm excited to see how, if Zay Jones is a capable quarterback who's able to throw the ball deep, I'm excited to see his potential. He seems like he's a good player.
Zay Jones?
Zay Jones, wide receiver on Buffalo.
Oh, all right. Wait, did you say quarterback?
I said Zay Jones, wide receiver on Buffalo, and if they have a capable quarterback to get him the ball.
I heard quarterback.
No.
All right. Moving on to our next game, the Chiefs and the Titans. Okay, so I'm just going to start with you here on this game, because I'll save my thoughts after I hear what you think. Just kind of recap this game for me. What did you like? What did you not like about this game? And your general thoughts. We all know that the Chiefs blew this lead. Walk me through what you think went wrong and just some general thoughts on this game.
Sure. Well, you know, to begin with, I just want to say the Chiefs had this game in the bag. They were doing everything right. They were frustrating Marcus Mariota. They were stopping the run for the most part. And then really, Derrick Henry started to get it going. He finished with 156 and a score. And the Chiefs just kind of seemed like they just kind of stopped playing. They had no points in the second half. And, yeah, I feel like really a game-changing play was, surprisingly, Marcus Mariota catching his own touchdown pass. That after that, the momentum completely swung for the Titans, and they just rode that to a one-point victory.
Yeah, that was incredibly lucky that that happened. I was quite amazed by that play. For me, I was just shocked the difference that losing Travis Kelce made to this game. The Chiefs' offense for their first 15 plays, the first quarter, blazed up and down the field and put on 21 points on this defense. They ran the ball. They committed to the run for a while. They threw deep with Alex Smith. And then as soon as the second half opened up, I don't think this loss was Alex Smith's fault. I think this was a product of coaching because they threw short of the sticks constantly.
I would agree.
And they abandoned the run. They refused to take shots downfield. And it sucks because Alex Smith is most likely playing his last game in a Chiefs uniform. But at the same time, I think a lot of that has to do with the way Andy Reid coached this game. And it wouldn't shock me if in a few years Andy Reid's gone, because I just don't know how this offense changed from being really good the last quarter of the season and really good in the first half to in a half completely imploding, going away from Kareem Hunt. That has been a constant all year. When they started hot, they used Kareem Hunt correctly. When they went on their 8-game skid, Kareem Hunt was not involved in the game plan, and they didn't involve him in the second half of this game. And it's disappointing as someone who roots for the Chiefs just because Alex Smith is a former Utah guy. On the other hand, I think the biggest part of this game was Derrick Henry, who absolutely dominated the Chiefs' defense all day long. It's a miracle that it took a DeMarco Murray knee injury for Mike Mulkey to see that he was never the right back to go to this year. He looked slow all year. He looked old all year. He needed to be going to Derrick Henry, the whole time. It's going to save Mulkey's job, which is a bummer because we probably won't see that's just another year, I think, that you're wasting Marcus Mariota's prime by not giving him a real coach. But the biggest story for me in this game was Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would definitely agree with that. You know, I just feel like the play calling is not, it's not there for Marcus Mariota to succeed. I'd like to see a lot more of him getting outside the pocket, scrambling. That's because that's where he's at his best. He's not really a sit in the pocket, sit back. He needs to be getting out of the pocket and running. That's where he feels more comfortable. And I know that he's been banged up a little bit. I know you want to keep him healthy, but at some point you just got to turn him loose a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point to make. And I don't know. The Titans go into New England. This isn't an appealing matchup to me, but I'm not sure how the Patriots are going to stop Derrick Henry. I think that's the glimmer of hope.
Right.
For this game, is just see how far Derrick Henry can take it. But for this Chiefs team, obviously, they're most likely dealing Alex Smith. I think it's a mistake. Obviously, they don't. Other than that, though, this offseason, what moves, if you're the Chiefs' general manager, are you making to improve this team?
I mean, to be quite honest with you, I think Alex Smith, you know, I don't think they should just be trading him away. But I do feel like Patrick Mahomes will succeed in Kansas City just due to the fact that he could get the ball deep to Tyreek Hill, and I really am excited about that matchup. I think the one place that the Chiefs could improve would definitely probably be... It's kind of tough. I would say maybe another corner to go alongside Marcus Peters.
Absolutely. The defense has played truly all year because a true linebacker and another pass rusher, because Tamba Ali is not what he once was.
Right.
They get Eric Berry back next year. They lost him week one, of course, to an Achilles injury. And I think that if the Chiefs' defense can improve and if Patrick Mahomes is as good as the hype suggests, I might have to buy into this Chiefs team as a playoff team. But I don't think until I see them win in the playoffs that I'm buying into this team for a while, because every year we get sucked into this trap of thinking the Chiefs are a great playoff team that can make a run to, like, the conference finals or something, and every year we're completely wrong, and
right.
They blow huge leads. And Alex Smith, it sucks that he's going to get dealt away. I'm not sure where. What, if you could see them trading him anywhere, where do you think it would be?
You know, it's kind of tough to say. I'm going to say the New York Jets, just due to the fact that I am a Jets fan. I think he's a good quarterback. I think the Jets, I don't think they're gonna necessarily see their guy who they want at picks number 6 in the draft. Maybe they could give up one of their 2 second rounders and get Alex Smith. That's just my prediction. I don't think anyone really knows where Alex Smith's gonna land.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. He hasn't had a bad career. He has been an excellent playoff quarterback. You think back a few years to the year in San Francisco where
right.
He knocked off the number one seeded Drew Brees and the Saints, and you think to that game he had against the Colts. Yes, they gave up, what, a 35-point lead, but he threw for over 360 yards, 4 touchdowns, and if Dwayne Bowe makes a catch down the sideline, we're talking about that as one of the most magical quarterback performances in the playoffs ever. Everyone gets on Alex Smith, and yes, he's a game manager in the regular season, but I truly think in the right system, he can succeed as a playoff quarterback and as a guy who can win you a Super Bowl.
Right, yeah, I would definitely agree with that, and I just feel like he's gotten really unlucky throughout his career with guys behind him, and I just don't feel like, you know, I like Andy Reid's play calling, but it just gets to a certain point where it's too methodical. There's got to be... Especially if they're going to go to Patrick Mahomes, who's more of a gunslinging, you know. They've got Tyreek Hill, who's a speedy guy. They've got Kareem Hunt, who's a talented back. They've got Travis Kelce, who could go up and go make big plays. They need to be more aggressive offensively, and I just think that the passiveness offensively has to drive Chiefs fans nuts. And it's really just wasting talent at this point.
Yeah. Well, that'll do it for today's show. Ben, I'd like to thank you for having me on. Ben is looking to get into the podcasting game, so we'll look for you back here on Wednesday, right?
We'll see if I can make it. I'd love to, though. I had a great time.
Awesome. So we will be back no matter what, no matter who, on Wednesday to preview the divisional games. Of course, we gave out our giveaway last show. Thank you very much to everyone who participated in that. It's you, the listener, that really makes us a great podcast. Keep subscribing, keep liking, keep rating us favorably, retweeting us, follow us at EndZonePod on Twitter. Ben, I'll let you plug yourself. Where can people find you on Twitter?
You can find me. My Twitter handle is at LevinskyBen, and I'd just like to shout out the DFF Army, and I'd like to also shout out ProSportsFandom.com.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're actually presented by them. So, that's good. We got in our double presentation. Yeah, thanks to Pro Sports Fandom for letting us do this for them. We're glad to have them as our presenting people or sponsor, but we don't get paid. So, either way, this is an awful way to end. Ben, a common theme of these podcasts is they end badly. But other than that, we will see you guys Wednesday. Have a great weekend. 30-minute show for you, nice and short. We'll see you on Wednesday. Peace out.